I'm Amber. I'm an alcoholic. And I'm so happy to be here. Thank you, Richie, for asking me to be the 10-minute speaker. Congratulations on 30 days. That's incredible. And it's a big deal. It's a massive deal. I've shared about this before, and I know a lot of people do. But when I came into the rooms and people would take chips, I thought that they were out of their mind or very, very bored, lonely people that just didn't have anything better to do. And I just thought that it was impossible, and who would want to live a life not drinking? And I have a sponsor. My sobriety date is December 28, 2014. I have a sponsor who I love with all of my heart, and I have a sponsorship family that I adore. I have a grand sponsor and a great grand sponsor, and my life is incredible and amazing, and it's all due to Alcoholics Anonymous. I am from here. I'm from Palmdale, California, and I grew up in a wonderful home. I had mom and dad that are still together to this day. I have a twin sister. My whole family was amazing. I had no issues growing up, apart from, always feeling less than from a very, very young age. I always felt like I wasn't as good as, and it wasn't just that I have a twin sister and she's a total normie. And, it wasn't just her. It was, I always felt not pretty enough or not funny enough, or like I didn't fit in with other people. And that just was never the case. That wasn't reality. But I think I had that warped thinking from a very young age. And so I always acted out. I always did the most. I was always the what my sister learned from my mistakes growing up. And but again, it's like those reasons don't make me an alcoholic, I had my first drink of alcohol with my twin sister, and we took our first sip, and that immediate ease that came from the first drink was true for me. I remember that first drink, and I wanted more and more, and my sister was ready to go upstairs and go to bed. She did not like the feeling, and we were not supposed to be drinking, obviously, and I had Saturday school the next day because I have a problem listening to authority. And so I'm throwing up in the trash can at high school, and I'm like, I cannot wait until next weekend. I just knew that what I needed to do was to drink to feel that way. I felt freer. I felt like I could talk to anyone. And that progressed through high school. I did well in high school. I got a scholarship to Kansas. And that soccer scholarship turned into a drinking, or the soccer career turned into a drinking career very shortly. I found out the boyfriend had cheated on me. And again, that's not a reason why I'm an alcoholic. But I turned to drinking, and I drank really heavily. And I moved back home because I lost the scholarship. And I did what any good alcoholic would do, which is to just move back to Kansas just because that I could drink the way that I wanted to there. And I did that for maybe 2 or 3 months. And you have to pay rent in order to live somewhere. And I couldn't afford it because I was drinking. And so I had to move back home. And I found a lot of friends that drank the way that I did. In the book, not even in the book, it talks about going from fun to fun with problems to just problems. And that was very accurate for me. I started getting in fights that I very, very much lost. I'm not a good fighter. And so I'd come home with black eyes, and my mom would be concerned, and I'm like, laughing it off, because she's like, what happened? Did you get in a fight? And I'm like, yeah. When really, I did get in a fight. I got my ass handed to me, excuse me. But like, it would be the injuries and me falling and, stitches and stuff to worse things, where I am a blackout drinker through and through. There's never a reason for me to just have a couple. I have to blackout every single time. Friends would ask me, why do you have to drink so much? And that just like was so foreign to me. Why would I not blackout? And I would wake up from blackouts and just be like, well, if I don't remember it, it didn't happen. And that would continue. And it progressed really, really quickly. I ended up getting a DUI. And it was a felony because I hit a pole. And I ended up finding out very recently that I had a traumatic brain injury from that. That, like, none of that stopped me from drinking. But I did get a nudge from the judge to go to AA. And so my mom took me because she knew that if she didn't take me, I wouldn't have gone. And thank God for my mom. She walked me in. She was behind me to make sure that I went in. And, I walked into the Pondo group, which I still say is my home group. I walk in and people were looking real, real scary, and I wanted nothing to do with anyone. And so I went in and out for 6 months, you know, and so, but what I gained in those 6 months was people who genuinely cared about me. I learned that these people actually loved me, and that was like hugging to me and I love you. It was so foreign to me. But that's what I lacked out there and what I always wanted. I just wanted to feel a part of. And the longer that I stayed in AA, the more I was able to listen. And I always knew that I had a problem. I just wasn't willing to stop, until the morning of December 28th. And I came back to that Palmdale group and raised my hand, and all I could get out was I effed up. And everyone was like, oh, Amber, it's okay. And, you know, gave me hugs. And but I was done. And I will say that, is this, I don't know how much time I have. Okay, perfect. So let's get sober. So the first 3 or 4 years of my sobriety was amazing. I fellowshipped. I did young people's. I half measures availed us nothing in AA. So I got the sponsor to have you get off my back. And I loved her, and I would talk to her all the time, and I would kind of work the steps but not be thoroughly honest, because I'm not really going to get real, because I know what comes with through the steps, because I've been in the meeting, so I know I'm going to have to make amends to these people. I don't want to do that. And just being real. And what happened at 5 years sober was life on life's terms happened. I was on a pink cloud for 5 years, and then life happened. And I didn't know how to handle it sober. And I didn't want to drink. The obsession had been lifted. I didn't necessarily want to live anymore, though. And by then, I had a 2-year-old that relied on me, which was also a gift of this program. I met my son's father in the rooms. You know, so I knew that I needed to do something. My sponsor had called me. I can't even say that I called her. She called me. I was like, hey, Aaron, you're crying in meetings and stuff all the time. And I'm like, yeah. And so... yeah, so we got to work, and we read the book line by line, and I was brutally and thoroughly honest with her, and my life changed. My life changed tremendously, you know, and what my life looks like now, I'm able to sponsor other women and take them through the steps and see that light go on in their eyes, and it's an incredible thing. I'm able to show up for all friends now. I'm able to be... a daughter and show up for my parents, especially like in times of grief. And, you know, in these 11 years of sobriety now, people are getting older, people are passing, and I'm able to show up. And that's incredible, because I couldn't show up for anyone. I didn't care to show up. And I value that today. I especially value the whole AB and High Desert Big Book. So thank you guys for letting me share.